peace. Everyone is looking for it, but the only place you'll find true and lasting peace is right here in God's Word. Join us as we go back to God's Word on this edition of Abounding Grace with our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon. Welcome to Abounding Grace, the ministry of United Reformed Church here in Linden. And indeed, it is abounding grace that we seek and find here in God's Word. We would invite you to join us for the next few minutes as our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon, brings us back to God's Word that we might find that peace, that encouragement for the day, that challenge to follow hard after Christ. For this edition of Abounding Grace now, here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
Well, thank you for tuning in today to Abounding Grace. If you were with us yesterday, you know we began our study again of the second part of Revelation chapter 20. And in verse 7, we read these words, "Now, when the 1,000 years have expired, Satan will be released from his prison and will go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, whose number is as the sand of the sea." What John understood is that there is a fixed time when the evangelization program of the world will end. Remember, Satan was bound so that he should deceive the nations no more until the 1,000 years were finished. What that meant is that he could not stop the gospel from going to the dark regions of the world that he held captive and in darkness and in bondage. The gospel was prevailing. The gospel of the kingdom was being preached, and the Lord Jesus Christ, reigning on his throne above, was plundering souls from every tribe, tongue, people, and nations. Well, 1,000 years is like a day in God's sight. All this mission activity is fixed. My friends, it's going to end. The day of coming to Christ will soon be over. And it's not even going to stop when Christ comes. Here we learn that the door open to the nations to be saved will stop in just a point prior to Christ's second coming. And when this set time has expired, Satan will be released, meaning that what he couldn't do since the day of Pentecost in stopping the gospel proclamation and advancement, he will be able to do right at the end. He will again have the ability to deceive the nations. To again, like ancient Israel that we see, remember when Israel was caught in Egypt and they were in bondage in Egypt, Egypt symbolized the world in complete darkness, and the whole kingdom of the world is pictured in Egypt as surrounding the church, surrounding the nation of Israel to stamp them out with persecution and to silence their witness. John sees this as something that is going to happen universally. And so he uses the language of the four corners of the earth, which is, speaking of it, being a worldwide phenomenon, that all the nations will become hostile to Christianity. And here you will notice in Revelation chapter 20, there's an interesting phrase. He references Gog and Magog. Now, I hear a lot of Bible expositors who really try to figure out what nations these are going to be. And I heard a very well-known one try to do that the other day. And I laughed because that's not at all what Revelation is telling us to try to do, to open the newspaper and figure this out. Gog and Magog was spoken of by Ezekiel. And if you study Ezekiel carefully, what you find is that Gog and Magog referred to the last great persecution of God's people under the terrible, wicked ruler of Syria. This is Ezekiel chapter 38. Let me give you a sense of this. "Son of man, set your face against Gog of the land of Magog, the prince of Rosh, Meshech, and Tubal, and prophesy against him, and say, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against you, O Gog, the prince of Rosh, Meshech, and Tubal. I will turn you around, put hooks in your jaws, and lead you out with all your army, horses, and horsemen, all splendidly clothed, a great company with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords. Persia, Ethiopia, and Libya are with them, all of them with shield and helmet. Therefore, son of man, prophesy and say to Gog, thus says the Lord God, on that day when my people Israel dwell safely, will you not know it? Then you will come from your place out of the far north, you and many peoples with you, all of them riding on horses, a great company, a mighty army. You will come up against my people Israel like a cloud to cover the land. It will be in the latter days that I will bring you against my land so that the nations may know me when I am hallowed in you, O Gog, before their eyes. Thus I will magnify myself and sanctify myself, and I will be known in the eyes of many nations. Then they shall know that I am the Lord. John is referencing this to tell us that something similar happened in history. It was the last great persecution of the world against the church in the Old Testament. So this same thing will occur again at the very end. And here it's described. Satan himself, the beast, and the false prophet will have the ability one more time to deceive the world on a spiritual level. You notice that John likens this whole thing to the last battle. So it's not an actual war as we would think of war. The battle is described here as something coming to a head when Satan is able to deceive again. Deception. It's when the world has universally crushed the church, when the world has universally silenced its witness. In other words, not so much through guns and swords and these sort of things, but through immorality, through false teachings, through idolatry, through sexual immorality, the church is surrounded. And notice how the people of God are pictured here in Revelation 20. In verse 9, we read, they went up on the breath of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city. All throughout the Bible, God's people are pictured like Israel, as a wilderness people, traveling to the promised land. They're pictured as a camp, God's own city, that will be surrounded by the world. Remember what Revelation 16 says. Then the sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates, and its water was dried up, so that the way of the kings from the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs coming out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are spirits of demons performing signs which go out to the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Behold, I'm coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and see his shame. This will be a devastating time, my friends. You can't shrink back from saying that. This is what Jesus said when he said, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? What was he speaking of? He's speaking of the deplorable time when Satan has completely overrun the church with worldliness, with corruption, with violence, with unchanged people, with a show. This happening? It will be a time when the truth is so cast down that, as Jesus said, if those days were not shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. Well, election's a beautiful doctrine then, because none of us would make it if that were not true. Do you see the big picture? What the big picture is simple. If you didn't understand everything that we just rehearsed, this is really clear. The evangelization program of the world is going to end. Jesus said the gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness, and then the end will come. The gospel has traveled for the last 2,000 years to every tribe, tongue, people, and nation. Tell me how many regions of the world that were once open to the gospel are now completely shut to it. Just ask about the state of Christianity in the UK. Tell me about the state of it in the Netherlands. Some regions of the earth have already entered this sort of little season, this short time before Christ comes. John says this is going to happen on a universal level where there will be no interest in the gospel, in Christ. The truth will be cast down. The church will be surrounded with deception. And what will happen? John says he saw fire come down from God out of heaven and devour them. What is that? Literal fire? This is symbolic, my friends. It's describing exactly what 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 describes. Remember what that says? It's a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you, and to give you who are troubled rest when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in what? Flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power when he comes in that day to be glorified in his saints and to be admired among all those who believe, because our testimony among you was believed. That's what's going to happen when Jesus comes. He is coming in fire to devour the adversaries that surround and persecute his church. That is what 2 Thessalonians 2 describes when it says, you know what he is, what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time, for the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he's taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. What is going to happen to Satan? What is going to happen to his kingdom? The beast, which represents his persecuting power, and the false prophet, which is his antichrist religion. Verse 10 says in Revelation 20, they are going to be cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, Satan will be cast, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. You see, God is comforting his people here. Yes, it's going to be bad, but it's only going to be for a short time at the end. This isn't to scare you. He says, I'm going to put a stop to it for you so that all your suffering, all your misery, all the attacks you faced in your life from the wicked one, I will put an end to prematurely so that he doesn't crush you. I will cast them into the fire. They will be tormented. You will be defended. That is the message. And that's why we say, have you come to Jesus? Only those who are in Christ will be preserved on that day. Oh, we must rest and believe in Christ and flee from the wrath of to come, that we may know that in his blood and righteousness, we have a covering to be received by him on that day. Well, that is Psalm 89, a wonderful psalm to be able to sing God's words and to be on that safe ground knowing that we are singing the truth. We sing his truth, we preach his truth, the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ, his powerful living word at the Linden United Reformed Church. And so we invite you to join us this Sunday, 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. of the worship service times. You may visit us on the web at lindenurc.com. The phone number is area code 360-318-0429. Well, thanks for tuning in today, and may the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.